Blog Talk Radio.
Still feeling the pain from exiting the womb of ignorance into a world designed to kill me at birth. I am protected. The Elder Council consisting of Grand
energy we can send the people. Thank you all for tuning in to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper by way of MasterGrio.com. As usual, we start the show out always giving a strong black shout out and appreciation to Sister Jackie over there at MasterGrio.com for allowing us the opportunity as well as the pleasure and responsibility of listening and learning with the people all at the same time. Big bro, what is the goings on?
Man, always the goal, man, to bring light and awareness and hopefully, he and the white supremacy, brother.
Man, what you say? What you say is more than a notion.
It's more than a notion, bro.
More than a notion, especially right now, man. Especially right now, in the midst of our collective jubilancy due to the electing of brother president elect, as we should say, speaking correctly. You know, we are not the ones to negate the jubilancy of the people. You know, we certainly do understand. Matter of fact, we overstand, you know, the symbolism, the emotionalism, you know, and if you will, the emotionalism behind the symbolism. We've been beaten down for so long, and one brother brought up a point that we tell children, I think it was Kenny Smith, used to play for the Houston Rockets. He said that we have a habit of telling children that you can be whatever you want to be, a doctor, lawyer, engineer, you know, an entrepreneur, the president. But as far as a black, telling a young black male that he could grow up and be president was really a farce. And he said now that Obama has been elected as the United States president, that is now a reality to more young black men. That is a goal that they can really look forward to, you know, and it seems to be achievable at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not the one to negate that. You know, I understand the symbolism
it's
behind
it. It's a symbolic victory.
You know, but everything else that we have been given has only been, as Malcolm would say, a victory in principle only.
Exactly.
You know. Exactly. What are your thoughts on that, bro?
Well, you know how it is, brother. I mean, you got to understand that, you know, so many people thought for so long that they would never get a chance to to see a black president, and here you have, you know, brother president-elect, like you said. But the thing about it is no one ever takes the time to see the unseen hands. You know, nobody takes the time to find out the innermost workings, or like we would talk, the innermost working dynamic parts.
That's right.
Of anything, you know what I'm saying? We accept things at face value without doing any research, and we have the audacity to get mad when it don't pan out like we thought it would.
We do. We do. And I was listening to one brother, and he did bring up the point during the campaign period that black people are voting purely on emotionalism. And being that we are an emotional people, and I'm not going to say that black people were wrong for voting for the brother, you know, I mean, you know, according, you know, it, as far as an ideal world, it was either him or McCain, you know. And,
exactly.
They had already put it out there that 4 more years of McCain would be like 4 more years of Bush. And
exactly.
Not
nobody wants
really
that, black or white.
Right, you know. But what we fail to realize is that Brother Power always says that it takes 2 wings for an eagle to fly. It takes the left wing and the right wing, you know.
Exactly.
And like you said, we don't do the proper research. And and I understand, you know, I mean, dogs sicked on brothers and sisters and children and sprayed with water hoses, brothers and sisters being lynched and told you can't do this, you can't do that, you won't do this, and you will do that for so long, you know. And like
exactly.
you said, this was some type of vindication. To a lot of brothers and sisters, understandably so, you know, and I'm sensitive to that. I have to be, you know. I'm very sensitive to that. But Brother Malcolm left us a measuring stick, if you will, as means of measuring or judging, if you will, a black politician. And I remember hearing Brother Malcolm say during an interview that you have to judge a black politician by... Number one, his white associates. And number two, by his record. And this is, you know, let us go on to put it out there, is that we definitely have no ill will toward Obama personally, you know, because personally I don't know the brother. And he comes off as a very, very highly intelligent individual. And, you know,
exactly.
I congratulate a brother, you know, who is that high in the American system for having a black family, because it's, you know, even
exactly.
sports players, you know what I'm saying? I mean, go get, don't
exactly.
even put a sister on, you know, don't have a black family. So, you know, and I mean, in that respect, I have respect for the brother. You know, he has a black family. And what we're going to get into, if you all haven't guessed by now, is that since we do have a black president, brother, go on and explain that to him. What are we going to do now?
Well, we're going to tackle tonight the fact that since we do have a black president, is there a need for brothers and sisters to bring the truth to the people now? Since we do have a black president, is there a need for freedom fighters?
Yeah.
Since we do have a black president now, is there a need for brothers and sisters in the grassroots movements across the country to keep doing what they're doing? Or is it that the struggle now somehow does not exist anymore?
Exactly, exactly. And that's something that we must talk about, because we do have those of us who, you know, especially the integrationalists, they're seeing this as some type of symbol of assimilation. You know, I am now you, you know. And like I said, you know, we understand some type of mindset as to where, you know, we were taught that we were equal to the white man. But, I mean, who is the white man to be equal to, you know? You're equal to the,
exactly.
you're equal to the devil, you know what I'm saying? You know, but, you know, it just depends on your mindset and how you were taught or how you were brainstained, or however you want to put it. But that's definitely going to be our subject on tonight. And when we get back, we have a couple of brothers who will be calling in. I know looks like Brother Cassio is already on the line. So as soon as we get back from this musical interlude that will certainly put us in the mood for the topic of discussion on the evening, we're going to be right back with you. as we discuss, is there still a need for the freedom fighter after the election of a black president? So you all stay tuned to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. We'll be right back with you. Check this out.
Yeah, they say that this is a historical moment, so allow me to get historical inside of this moment. My people, whatever you do, be for who be for you. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. Barack Hussein Obama, black president of the brave people's home. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. Lucius, born in Africa, this history is crazy. Septimius became the emperor of Rome in 193 A.D. Severus, we had high hopes for you, every African man, woman, and baby. But you became the metaphor of a weeping willow tree, so sad, so shady. You went along with their brutality. You went along with their insanity. In disregard for non-Roman humanity, you rejected your own history and adopted a Roman identity. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. Barack Hussein Obama, black president of the brave people's home. Oprah Winfrey's best friend is influential and her name is Gail. All best friends are influential and Barack Obama's best friend seems to be Israel. Even with glowing lights and makeup, the ugly truth can never hide. A black leader from South Africa recently went to Israel and said the treatment of Palestinians looks just like apartheid. Some say your speech on race was a nice try. You've given the image that you're a very, very nice guy and an oh-so-peaceful man. But I've read the transcripts of your speeches, and you want to bomb Iran, and you want to expand the war in Afghanistan. Man, oh man, how will you explain to your daughters why Israel can have nuclear weapons, but Iran cannot? How America can have nuclear weapons, but Iran cannot? Hey, even South Africa under white rule could have nuclear weapons, but Iran cannot. Without using double standards, giving an answer, you cannot. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. Barack Hussein Obama, black president of the brave people's home. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. You did not change the imperial policies of previous Caesars. You created fools out of those who were your serious believers. You defended the interests of Rome and not the interests of your father's home. You prided yourself as a black man who was a true patriot of Rome. You alone, man, became the most loyal Roman. History is a current event, so the past is the present and the present is the past. To you, Rome came first and Africa came last. The perceived source of relief is the source of our belief. That's why we believed in you so prematurely. 2,000 seasons later, you think that we would mature, see? You with just your smile and an oath to defend all things Roman. In the autumn of 2008, will we still fall for seductive symbols and tokens? Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome. Barack Hussein Obama, black president of the brave people's home. So the next time you go to Florida on family vacation to scuba in Key Largo, look 90 miles to the south and explain why you kiss up to China but support the Cuban embargo. Does that make your sponsors giggle? Not a lot, but maybe a little. Will they quibble with this riddle? What's worse, the fact that Bill Clinton had Monica Lewinsky, or the fact that your top foreign policy advisor is Zbigniew Brzezinski? You know, one of the guys behind the Trilateral Commission? You know, one of the guys who believes that a lie is not a lie if it's a lie by omission? You know, one of the guys who believes that the rule of law is legal fiction? You know, one of the guys who is the prescription glasses to David Rockefeller's world domination blurry vision? You know, one of the guys who thinks that double speak is perfect diction? You know, one of the guys who thinks rubbing shoulders with evil is good for friction? But your supporters are electrified by you, galvanized by you, hypnotized and magnetized by you. They say you're playing chess on a very high level, but some of us don't play chess with the devil. We play a game called confess with the devil. No, some of us don't play chess with the devil. Yo, we play a game called stress with the devil. A continent of the oldest kings and the oldest queens demand your loyalty. The key to playing chess is to never lose your royalty. Would-be First Lady, it's not too late for you to check your mate. Lucius Septimius Severus, O ye black emperor of Rome, Barack Hussein Obama, black president of the self-proclaimed brave people's home. Painted in staccato is the airbrushed image of the tragic magic mulatto. Kenya, Kenya, Kenya become president with elation and forget about grandma in a neo-colonized East African nation. It's a hell of a situation when Dick Cheney is a family relation. What's the proper allegiance when you have the historical grievance of a black people under siege? When a country stabs you in the back and makes it a crime when you bleed? Abraham Lincoln is your hero, but the Emancipation Proclamation was a zero because there was no one in freed. A country whose fruits came from the extermination and the experimentation of the red and black seeds. Jeremiah Wright was right, he never lied when he preached about the book Medical Apartheid. But you condemned his plead, cause you know and I know that Americans don't read. Is it possible to be a patriotic American and a good world citizen? Is it possible to be a good American and a high-octane African in a land where the national pastime is not baseball but deceiving, deceiving, deceiving? You may wake up and be seeing Lucius Septimius Severus starring as Barack Hussein Obama in a new epic movie called Change You Can Believe In. Whatever you do, be for who be for you. Ha.
Yes, indeed. Whatever you do, be for who be for you. That was none other than Brother Heyru. Yes, indeed. What did you think about that, big bro?
Man, that brother there was dropping so much information, and I'm so hoping that who are listening don't take offense to what the brother said, but do the research that the brother has done.
That's right. That's right. If you get offended, prove him wrong. You know, no.
Exactly.
Let's open up this line, man. We've got Brother Cassio on the line with us. How you doing, bro?
How's it going? Well,
wonderful. Everything
brother?
Is gravy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We definitely thank you for calling in. Big brother, you speak to Brother Cassio there.
Hey there, brother. How you doing? Good to talk to you once more and again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How your brother's doing, man? I appreciate y'all for having me on tonight, man.
Oh, man, thank you for sharing your time with us, man. And we've definitely got a tough subject to cover this evening, you know.
Yeah.
Big bro, I think I remember telling you on last week that Brother Cassio sent me a text message. It was talking about he sent me an email talking about the gun sales going up as far as white folk buying all these guns, and the brother made the comment that, you know, we were out here celebrating, and white folk is all over themselves, you know?
Exactly.
And,
you know, when white folk get scared, brothers, you got to go ahead and check the record, man. When white folk get scared, they harm themselves, brother.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, man. I mentioned to the brother, we buying Alize, they buying AKs.
Yeah, for real. Seriously.
And but I mean the thing, it's crazy, man. Cause even the sisters, though, man, I've been getting a lot of emails from the sisters and a lot of text messages like, yeah, I need me a man like Barack. And this whole image that they have placed on, you know, black men in America, now is that okay? They don't know the true him. So they looking at this brother, yes, he's intelligent, yes, or what have you. But at the same time, you don't know what goes on in his house.
Yeah.
In the spotlight, yes, he treats his wife, and I'm glad that we're able to see that black man treating his wife with respect, but at the same time, you know, all these sisters saying, yeah, I want a man like Barack. But at the same time, they don't know what really goes on. They don't really know him.
Yeah, exactly. Again, falling for the symbolism.
That's it. That's it. And, I mean, the topic that y'all have tonight, man, their need for a freedom fighter, man, I think right now is more of a need than any time, man, because you have a lot of people now who really have bought into the American nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, they really feel like, okay, now I can get the American dream, but they don't realize it's American nightmare. Well, black folks, regardless of who's the president.
Yeah, 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 and we fail to realize that the president, you know, really doesn't, if you really want to be technical about it, you know, The president doesn't run the country.
No, not
he,
at all.
The president has a say-so to a certain extent. You know what I'm saying? You all know, just as well as I know, you know, there's 13 ruling families, the Bilderbergs, the Rockefellers, and so on and so on. You know,
exactly.
And like you brought up earlier, yeah, like no one is paying attention to that unseen hand. Well, one you can't expound on that.
Well, you know, like you just mentioned, you know, when you do some research into, you know, what makes the American machine run, you got to understand that the international bankers are the ones that are behind any and everything that goes on, not only here in the United States, but in the world. And when you look at into the families of the Rockefellers and the Morgans and the Bilderbergs and the Kennedys and the, all these different families that make this thing work, man, you'll see how intricately interwoven into American society these families have their hands, man. And it's like the puppeteer, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's amused and entertained by the words and the antics of the puppet, but nobody sees the strings or pays attention to the strings that are making the puppet do whatever the puppet's supposed to do.
Right.
And that's what's going on, bro.
Right, exactly.
That's exactly what goes on, man. That brings me back to one of y'all poems. I remember the name of it, but y'all talk about that. You know, how you have strings controlling you, and sometimes you don't even realize that you have strings outside of yourself controlling you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people, now if you can't even see the strings that's controlling you, how are you going to see the strings controlling somebody else? And I think a lot of, and I don't even want to call them Africans, man. I think a lot of black, a lot of Negroes in America has really bought into this system, man. And so right now, I think we definitely, we got to start working. I think you and I exchanged some text messages earlier that, I mean, we got to start working, man. We definitely have to start working. And I think one thing we definitely have to start, we have to start working with our younger people. Because right now, the college-age students, they lost their mind, too. So we got to start working with our young kids, elementary students. And we got to find ways to get to them, you know, before the system take them over. And I know it's going to be hard, but we definitely, freedom fighters are definitely needing that.
Yeah, exactly. And one question I want to pose is that Brother Cassio just explained that the freedom fighters are definitely still needed. But in this day and age, and the Yele has brought this point up, as far as the so-called post-racial society, I can't even think of a word to describe that dumb statement, that wishful thinking statement, you know what I'm saying. Will the revolutionary be received at this point in time?
And honestly, brother, I hate to say it, you know, I love my people so much that a lot of what we do puts our lives, our very lives, in jeopardy.
Yeah.
For trying to say what it is that needs to be said and do whatever needs to be done for the betterment and the benefit of my people. But at this present moment in time, brother, you got people in the nationalist movement that have bought into the game.
Yeah.
So if the very people who have taught us now have bought into the game, brother, it's almost to a point that we've been rendered obsolete. No one wants to hear about the racial disparity in America anymore because white people voted for Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody wants to hear that these things are still going on and these plans to kill you are still going on, and nobody wants to hear that anymore simply because they feel that they have a savior that's going to come and save them, brother.
Right, exactly. And there's
so
the brother.
It hurts my heart to say. It hurts my heart to say, brother. But right now, I don't think there's a year. I really don't.
Yeah, and there may not be. I was listening to another talk show, and this brother called in and made the point. I apologize. It wasn't a brother. It was a devil. That white boy called in talking about the reason that white people are afraid of cats. Like he brought up cats like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, and he was like, you know, years ago, you know, we could really understand why those people would come out, but now, you know, I mean, my best friend is a black guy, and you know, no one feels that way about you all anymore. You know what I'm saying? And that's in the art of war. For those of us who have studied that, put your enemy at ease, you know what I'm saying, a false sense of security, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, they perfected the art and the science of trickology, and we just constantly go for it. We have another call on the line, 901, you know, you there?
Yes, yes, yes. How y'all doing this evening, Brother Keeper?
What's up, big brother Power?
Yeah,
how you
brother
doing?
Power.
What's going on, brother?
Hey,
y'all just tuning in and checking y'all out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. Well, Brother Power, tell us, man, how you feel on this particular subject. I'm sure you've been tuning in, man. Some of us have gotten complacent since Brother Barack has been elected, and we seem to think Jesus done came back.
Brother. This is the phenomenon that the people have been speaking of. You know, past times, future and present right now that we're seeing right now. It's like the savior and the salvation phenomenon, I call it, going on, man. But us, our people as a whole, we have bought in 100%. We bought into the gimmick. We bought the plot. We know it. We've been tricked by it before, but, you know, it got a black face now, man. So it's almost like we're going to go with the flow and we're going to try to see what's going on. But the people, man, the people are so unaware as to what is really going on behind the scenes with this guy, man. It's saddening, and I tend to have the same sentiment as Brother Yele, that it's almost like we're being pushed into a dinosaur factory as freedom fighters. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, the relevance of the message is no longer there because now you have a black president, a so-called black president. But you have a symbol. And these people know that they have a symbol. That's what's so insane about this. They will tell you this verbatim. Well, it's just the symbology that's important. And, you know, we've had enough symbols. We've been the first this, the first that, the first this, the first that. We are not the first this, the first that. We had that in our own homeland before we even got here, millions and millions of years before other people came on the scene. So we got to stop the first syndrome, too. And second of all, man, we got to realize and rely on ourselves. Do for self. Politics is not going to save you. It hasn't done it in the past. It's not going to do it now.
That's right. Really, you know, honestly speaking, the only politics that are relevant to black people are the politics of revolution. There will be no benevolent politician, nobody to come set us free, or whatever the case may be. Like Brother Powell said, you know, there are a lot of things that are going on behind the scene with this cat that I don't know if we're just ignoring it, acting like it's not happening, or what, you know what I'm saying? And we brought up the fact earlier that Brother Malcolm left us a measuring stick of which to measure black politicians by. And Brother Yele, if you will, man, everyone knows, you know, Brzezinski is, you know, his dog, you know what I'm saying? That's his guy. And we know that he's a part of the Trilateral Commission. And pretty much the brother ran his campaign on two words of hope and change. And they explain that you know, the type of symbols that they slick get by the people's ear. And like Brother Powell said, they tell us and they show us, but our eyes are wide shut.
Well, if we're going to look at this thing, we have to look at it in the context that a lot of people are not familiar with, and that's the context of the Illuminati, the Masonic Order, the whole nine yards. The symbol for change in the Masonic Order is the triangle. That is the universe change, which is the triangle, which is the same symbol that the Trilateral Commission uses, which simply means change. We also have to look at it from the fact that George Bush passed a continuance of government law by which Barack right now is using to build his platform and his cabinet by hiring into his cabinet the same people that are a part of the Bush cabinet.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. And even when we look at that fact, he's I got an email today stating that Hillary Clinton has been offered the Secretary of State. Was that Condoleezza's job?
Right.
Yeah.
And that she may accept. And I was listening to a talk show of one dude said that, well, this guy is very smart. He's keeping his enemies very close to him. And that's what it may appear to be on the surface. You know what I'm saying? Because the people are pretty much white. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
The Clintons, why in the world would I want any part of someone who implemented the three strikes and you're outlaw?
There you go.
According to the, you know what I'm saying? More black folks got locked up under those devils than anybody I can even think of. We had over 2 million slaves during slavery. Now we got over 2 million brothers and sisters locked up. Same thing. You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Black folk ended up dead up under them Clintons.
Well, let me jump in there, and I want to interject right there and tell you, and put out a piece of information that we've been watching. Democracy Now! Is a show that comes on Link Television, Link TV, channel 375 for those listeners that have DirecTV satellite. And on this show, brother Barack Obama, one of his first laws or whatever it is that he's passed, and he wants to close Guantanamo Bay. Okay, now we've been hearing this. Okay, now that's the silver lining behind the cloud. But the flip side to that is that he's enacting laws, he's proposing to enact laws once he's, you know, inaugurated and whatnot, to bring those same Guantanamo-type conditions to the United States. He's originating and starting a National Security Council within the United States that consists of a special court, special detention center, special detention services, and we really must dig into the facts by watching C-SPAN when the Senate is on and the different bills that are being passed and put forth. That way we can see what the plan is beyond the rhetoric and the talk so we can actually see what's really going on because we need to know these things. We need to know about H.R. 8791, the Homeland Terrorism Response Act that's being passed right now as we speak. We need to understand what these things are. We really need to start asking the questions, and we got to right now because we're at a time where this is a weapon of mass distraction. I have not seen the world so distracted by any singular event in my lifetime. I'm 37 years old. I know it's some that is out there that's older than me, but this is mass distraction. This equals with Vietnam. It equals with end of the world, so-called world wars, and the civil wars, which our civil wars was during the 60s. It's ranking right there along with this, but it's on a covert scale, so most of the people are just totally oblivious to what's going on.
That's right. That is
correct.
But,
no. But I think a lot of like, are fooled by Clinton because, you know, before Barack, Clinton was the first black president because black folks thought we would never see a black man as president. So that's why we feel fooled about Clinton, you know, because, you know, to some black folks, he was our first black president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, according to who was that?
That's right.
Tony Morrison. Say that dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, it's something serious, you know. And we taking it up, we lapping it up, man. We lapping it up. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And one of the first things the cat did was appointed Emmanuel, and he's nothing less than a warmonger megalomaniac.
His father even said he was.
Oh my God. I mean, that's what we facing, brother. I mean, because like we say, we've been to meetings where we've been in a certain community of elders and whatnot that have been, I mean, instructing and teaching that. I mean, just giving out complete facts and bringing knowledge and history to light, our knowledge and history to light. But they have the dog and horse blinders on when it comes to this situation right here. And this is causing us. We so far behind the eight ball on this, brother. I don't know if we can see our way around it, man.
Oh yeah.
You have to be careful when you speak into your people, and you mention Barack. If you have anything, if you just bringing up facts, you know, because they close themselves off. So anything else you say after that, they don't even hear you.
Right.
You know, careful when I'm talking to my people, and just when they bring up Barack. You know, because you don't want them to get to the point where they just shut you down, because then, to them, you a hater now, you know. And
right, exactly.
Yeah, like,
let me ask you a question, brothers. How do can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
How do we deliver factual evidence and not alienate the people if they have these blinders on?
You know what, brother? Definitely working on that. I mean, I don't even have that. That's been my biggest struggle. But you know, I speak on college campuses, man, black college campuses. You know, and when I'm bringing real situation, it's not even about Barack, but just real situation about hip hop and you know, just the young people, man, they shut me down. So that's what I'm working on now. I'm working on my presentation to them, so I can't shut them out, you know, so they won't shut me out because it gets to the point where they don't want to hear you anymore. So
exactly.
I don't even know. That's what I'm working on now, man. So how can I present them and not make them feel like, oh, you know, he's just a hater, you know.
we're doing the same thing, brother. We're doing the same thing, really.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
One thing
I'm almost convinced of is that the people are going to almost have to bump their head, you know. They're going to have to bump their own head.
You know
what I'm saying? You know, that's one thing I'm almost convinced of, and I hate to come to that conclusion, but, I mean, it's like talking not even bad, like you said, just presenting facts about the brother, and the people are going to absolutely shut you down. It's going to be something equivalent to talking about white Jesus.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And what I'm one thing I'm afraid of is that if this cat does not pan out to be who we are thinking he is, how would our response be? You know, what I'm thinking is that that's just going to suck what little life is left out of us at that point.
You're absolutely correct, brother. You know what? You're right about that, man, because that's just like when folks find out that if he actually existed, you know, when they find out that God is a black man, they go. when Obama turned out to be, you know, the devil, you know, then it's gonna hurt our people. But I think our job is to be there, to at least try to pick them up and to try to support them at the time. But I'm gonna be real with y'all, brothers, man. I done got to the point, man. I'm zero tolerant with a lot of black folks. and it's getting to the point where, you know, I'm like, I mean, whenever you go to the church, you know, whenever you see church on TV, it's like, oh, you know, God bless America, and I'm like,
right.
Y'all done forgot 400 years of what they done. We're not even talking about slavery. We're talking about stuff that's still going on now. And black folks, just 1 year, they didn't forget about all of it.
It don't exist no more. The past don't exist. And we tend to think, you know what I'm saying, we walking around like America has atoned for everything.
Yeah, you're
right. I mean, brother, it's so evident.
I was talking to Brother Power, and I was sharing some stuff with him about the state of my people, man. And God forbid, and I pray I'm wrong, that this man go ahead and do what it is that he said he does. But let's look at historically, from a historical aspect. When so-called Jesus got killed, the people died away, according to the Bible.
Yeah.
When King got killed, the civil rights movement died away.
Mm.
So if this brother don't do what they think he's going to do, then this is going to be the death blow. This is going to be the blow to the head that renders us dead, brother.
Man, and,
we got to look at it like that.
Yeah, and it's evident, you know what I'm saying? We have another call on the line from 404. Are you there?
Yeah, this is Warren G from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, what's up, Big Brother?
What's going on, Warren?
Hey, what's going on, Warren?
Yeah, I'm hearing all of you brothers, and I come from a different view. It's not about Obama. Forget him. It's about all us African men on this call. What are we going to do to lead our people? And the great works that's been done before us, Brother Malcolm, Dr. King. We just had the Million Man March. We have had a lot of great events in it that take place. They were great spiritually. We made some advances. Also, we had some areas that we didn't grow as great as we should have. You know, Obama's just one individual. He put his pants on and do everything that each of us on this call does. He's no more powerful than each of us on this call. Now, the question becomes, what are we going to do and what are we going to show our people? What we should take from Obama is that he showed us that we have those who overstand the whole capitalist white supremacy system globally and what it has done to us as African people. But even with that, you cannot lessen that you have to deliver for your people. We have great examples, the Black Panthers. We had Black Wall Street. When you deliver for your people, you had Garvey. When you deliver for your people will follow you. They're not going to follow you with rhetoric and talk and all of that. You have to deliver on the grassroots level. And I'm on campus also. I talk to youth, and they always say, you know, what are you brothers going to deliver in today's society? What I'm looking at is for us to look at two areas. One, as African men, we have to solve this challenge of our brothers being in prison. Yes, we know the whole U.S. structural criminal justice system is designed to oppress us and imprison us. We know this. We know all the facts. We know all the trickery that's there. But if we are greater kings, which we are, then it is no trickery we cannot overcome. Also, in reference to our motherland, Mother Africa, there we are the original kings and queens of the world. But the turmoil and the bloodshed and the thuggery that we have on our continent also has to be addressed. And so, you know, that's just my energy. I get on a lot of different calls. I'm on 4 calls today. I'm jumping from your call. You have the National Black Alliance Network, their call. You have Life Conversations. They had a conference call going, so it's about a million more movement. Their call is tonight. So we all are on these different calls, but we have to bring our unity consciousness back to the oneness to, yes, Barack will represent white, U.S. corporate interests in the world. I mean, like the brother was saying, the history has proven that individual cannot change that. It takes groups, it takes systems to change that. So our challenge is, I feel we are in the best position right now to empower ourselves back to a level that can move us forward, not only in this country, but in the whole world, globally. I really do, but we got to get on the program. You know, we spend entirely too much time talking about what we ain't doing, what they doing. I mean, it's just too much time on that. Let's talk about what programs we're going to do, how we're going to reach our youth, how we're going to deliver on economics, how we're going to produce, how we're going to get these brothers connected back with their children, you know, how we're going to get into this green economy, get some jobs out of it so people can feed their families and all this. And fight these people on that level, you know, to get resources for our people and not spend so much time on what Barack going to do and all. We know what he's going to do. He's going to represent the interests of the people who put him there. We know this. So, and that's not us, okay? So, you know, we don't need to, you know, just keep going over that. We need to go over how we're going to connect, how we're going to bridge buildings with each other, how we're going to bring Hebrew brothers together, Muslim brothers, Pan-Africanists, nationalists, people, African culturalists, how are we going to do this? I mean, and so, you know, that's what I think we can, if we kind of focus in on that and really bring that to the forefront, I think the Creator will continue to push us, to push the African man back to his prominent place of world history, And I can tell my son, who at 8 years old, asked me, "Yeah, Daddy, you talk about the pyramids 5,000 years ago. What about the pyramids today? Where are the African kings like you and your other brothers you talk about? What pyramids are you all building today?" And he 8 years old saying this. So my whole task now is to build the pyramids of the 21st century. So that's what I leave you with, brothers. I'm going on these other conference calls, spreading the same unity consciousness, African unity consciousness message. I think that's where we need to follow up Barack, whatever energy he can bring. You know, I'm not here to, you know, he's going to do his thing with or without my feedback. So I'm not worried about him. I bless him that he take care of his family, do what he got to do. But I know I got to do what I got to do for my people and my family. So that's where I come from, brothers. Peace and blessings to you.
Appreciate you calling in, man.
Let me say one thing. I wish the brother had more time to linger around on the call with us, you know what I'm saying, so he can, you know, catch more of a dialogue. But the show is basically about, you know, how black people as a whole, as the masses of the people, are accepting this thing with Barack Obama. Because most of us, we already know, you know, what the situation is. And as far as, like, globally, the consciousness of the people must be raised before they can achieve anything. Because speaking on the continent, I live on the continent as right now. I'm just here in the States right now visiting on a working vacation. And I stay in Ghana. And what I see in Ghana is corporations coming there with the so-called green philosophy, where they're trying to do this biodiesel thing. It was a conference that was here in Atlanta, Georgia, back in, I think it was June or July, about biodiesel, in which I attended because I thought it would be something that would be good for my people because I was going to be leaving, going to the continent in August. And when I got there and I found out what the particular technical little tweaks and twerks were with this biodiesel situation is that they want the farmers, the maize production is like one of the number one crops in Ghana, which is corn. Corn production, they wanted 50% of the corn production from Ghana to go to a biodiesel, in which the biodiesel will be exported out of Africa to European countries for the European consumption. And so that's, you know, some of the stuff sounds good, but right now we have to look at the globe. We cannot be isolated into just we got a black problem and the brothers going to have to do X, Y, Z. We are a global people. Recognize that the African from America that's in America that's stranded here, we are the standard and the beacon for the whole entire world. I've been to three countries in Africa, and we are the beacon in each one of them I've been to. We the beacon. So if we don't get ourselves together here, pretty much the whole world is going to follow behind the United States. And that's what's going to happen. And if we don't do it, we got to learn. We got to go back. Because a lot of brothers and sisters that we're talking about the pyramids to yesterday, they are still there. They're not gone. They're still there. They are still ours. They are still our shining beacons to society and civilization. But we have to fight to tell the kids that they are not Arabs, that they are not Europeans. This is all encompassing that fight. That's why it seems like it's such an octopus we got to wrestle with. You know what I'm saying? Brothers, on all nationalist fronts, you know, we're wrestling with this octopus within ourselves, the contradictions, the counter-contradictions. We wrestle with all of that. So we're gonna have to modify our struggle so much. We got to do a 2008 modification of a freedom fighter struggle, or we're not going to survive as people.
And this
we're not
going
to survive as people if we don't have the ability to do that.
It's got to be escalated. Go ahead, brother.
I think the brother should have, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, I agree with what he said, but at the same time, this is the question. It's a realistic question, you know.
Right.
As freedom fighters,
exactly.
are we needed? You know, and I think we act, and as freedom fighters, and as African people, we have to answer. We have to find ways of answering that question because,
exactly.
like you mentioned earlier, we even have our elders. Some of our elders
mm-hmm.
have bought into this Obama mania.
Exactly.
You know, so. So if our elders are buying into it, then what that leaves, you know, the young freedom fighters.
Exactly.
So I think the question is a realistic question that if we're gonna say save, if we're gonna bring light to our people, that's
mm-hmm.
a question that we have to ask ourselves, and we have to find answers to that question.
Hold on, y'all. We got another call on the line. 916, are you here?
Hey, peace, brothers. How you doing? It's Sister Aloha from California. How y'all doing?
Hey, all right.
Hey, Sister Aloha, what you doing?
I'm doing well. I love what the brother had to say from Atlanta, because that's kind of how I feel. I think that when you're a freedom fighter, if you're busy doing what you're supposed to do, that wasn't even a question for me. I mean, when you're on the front lines, I run a business, I provide health care, I go to other parts of the world, do the same thing. That was never a question in my head. I think sometimes people tend to criticize when maybe they're not sure about who they are. But I know when I looked at Barack Obama, no matter what people thought about him, he did his thing. You know, that's what he does. I like to see the way he is with his wife. I don't care what goes on in their house, because nobody knows what goes on in any of our houses. But I think at some point, if you're about your business or whatever your business is, that's not even a thought for me, because I'm going to keep on moving it and doing what I'm supposed to do. So that's just the way I see it. I think if everybody is, those of us who consider ourselves freedom fighters and, you know, if we're about action, you know, then you just keep it moving. You never stop. I mean, I know I never stop, you know. And I think that those of us who are freedom fighters, we just keep it moving. We keep pushing. We keep educating our people and those who want to come along or those who are awake or, you know. Sometimes I do think we spend too much time on things that if you're about the work, you just keep it moving. It's like I know we can think and act and run and chew bubble gum and cook and do whatever at the same time. At least I know I can.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying. So I feel like this, you know, with the situation is like, okay, like this phone, like what we're doing right now, okay, that's the time for those, you know, that consider themselves and whatever genre you consider yourself to toss around your ideas and define what's going on with the masses of our people. Because what's happening with the masses of our people is a phenomenon. Barack Obama is a phenomenon. And by us being in the grassroots working with the people, we have to be able to identify what this phenomenon is. Like Dr. Huey P. Newton said, you know what I'm saying, power is the ability to define phenomena and have to act in a desired manner. So we have defined what the phenomenon is. So in that, and with us being right there with the people on a grassroots level, we have to make that phenomenon act in a desired manner. So we have to tweak the information that we give to the people. We just can't ignore it and say we're going to keep on doing what we do. This is our time for us to collaborate with each other. Toss around those ideas. So where you on the West Coast, we down south, the brother was in the A, and, you know, brought in somebody. I forgot what the other brother's calling in from. So we can go out and we can make this phenomenon move how we need it to move. Because if not, we will be lost by the wayside.
Exactly. And certainly there have been, you know, some more progressive thinking, if that's the correct word to use, people such as ourselves on this call. I remember a sister called in to the Tom Joyner the Morning Show and said, you know, we've got all this hoopla about, you know, Brother Barack or whatever the case may be, but he has yet to say anything about the working poor or the poor people, period. Everything is middle class and upper class to them. And the people who I see and deal with, you know, on a day-to-day basis, I mean, you know, it's symbolism to them, and that's all it is. Yeah, I'm glad the brother got the job. Now, how I'm going to pay Memphis like gas and robbery? You know, seriously, I mean, it is what it is, you know, and ain't nobody in the Mac hating on the brother, because that's exactly what they will say, you know, like the brother just said. However, we have to look at this thing in a realistic manner. Even he said himself, you cannot look for a politician to save you. That's something we're going to have to continue to do on the grassroots level. But our only concern is being that, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, the folk who we consider to be ghetto, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Really, you know what I'm saying? Our condition is so horrible right now, we know ain't nobody going to save us but us. You dig what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But see, what we're speaking of is those so-called well-to-do handkerchief head Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Who the so-called ghetto people have to go to and do an interview with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We have to go through those type of Negroes in order to get a job sometimes. You dig? You know, that's my biggest concern. You know, well, I'm a manager now, and, you know, you're interviewing for an $8 job, and I have the power like Obama right now. You know what I'm saying? Those type handkerchief head Negroes, you know. And that's my concern with this whole thing.
Let's look at this thing from the same standpoint that the brother looked at the thing here. Today, I had the privilege to send an interview with Mr. Morales, President Morales from Bolivia,
who has just recently kicked the U.S. ambassador and the DEA out of his country, telling them they would never be allowed back in there because of what they have been doing to his country. They have been spying on him and turning his people against him and calling him Osama bin Laden and calling the people the Taliban, you know. And they did this all because he would not allow them to do what they wanted to do in his country. When you go abroad and you go to Africa and you see brothers and sisters over there who know more about us over here than we know about ourselves, when you hear about Brother Fidel and the people in Cuba who know more about our struggle than we know about our struggle, this is the reason why this question was posed in the first beginning. Because we know that now we're a global society. And when you got Mr. Morales, a person down in Bolivia, is having a tribute to Martin Luther King because he identified with the struggle of black people. He himself called Barack his brother, talking about he understands that his brothers have been struggling in the United States, and now is the time for the brothers in the United States to connect with the brothers all over the world to make a global society. When you have people from outside of this country talking about this kind of unity for people in this country, when people in this country don't even understand the concept of unity, that's the reason why we had to pose this question in the first place. Is there really a need for brothers and sisters giving truth to knowledge for our people out here today? Do our people really want it? And that's the whole premise of what we were talking about this evening.
Yeah. Okay, now, that I understand. That I totally understand. And I know a lot about international relations, so that I totally understand. But sometimes it just seems, it's just from my perception and my judgment, that sometimes we get so clouded when we see Barack Obama that what you just posed is a really good conversation. Because I also know in working in Cuba and working in Honduras and working in Costa Rica, where there are people of African descent in those areas, that they know. They deal with traitors amongst their own people. So they're not like these people that think Barack is like, I mean, that may be your perception, but they know what time it is. That's why they can stand up to our government and say, you can't come up in here with that. But we can't even step in our ghettos and say, you can't come up in here with that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. I'm just saying, sometimes when you just throw that Barack Obama piece out, it clouds the thing. Because I don't even think about him like that when I'm doing my work.
In order to understand the whole picture, you have to make mention of the intricate details because they make up the picture. And that's why the particulars were thrown out there, because these are particulars that the everyday person does not know. The only thing the everyday person knows is what the Council of Foreign Relations allows to be put on the television for them to know. So when you start bringing up things that they don't know, we're hoping that these things will cause the masses of the people to do the research in order to understand the whole game. And that's all the information was out there. We understand that we live in a shadow government. This is a puppet government, and we understand that.
Yeah.
But the masses of the people don't understand.
No.
So we have to bring – it's just like when your child is sick and – he won't take the medicine because the medicine got a bad aftertaste. You have to first get that bowl of applesauce and then crumble that medicine up in that applesauce and then feed that applesauce to the baby. He don't gobble it up because he don't know that the medicine is in the applesauce. So you have to, unfortunately, you have to treat our people and talk to them from the start to the finish so that they can even understand what you're selling. You know what I'm saying?
We're so far outside.
Well, brother, this is Warren G again back, and we're evolving even on this call in the sense that what the sister was saying is that, you know, we, as you are right, brother, in a sense of I think sometimes we of those people who have the consciousness, we kind of leap our people too far. We take them from about the grassroots people. Them people worried about how they going to pay their rent, da-da-da. I mean, conscious, Africa, blah-blah-blah, they not knowing. Now, us as the African genius kings and queens, like those on this call who understand everything you just said, understand the global dynamics, understand the global racism, understand brothers in the Chavez and the brother down there in Bolivia and all, you know, making stands, you know, challenging capitalism, you know, doing these things. See, we understand that. We know history. We know about Doc Ben and the history of the different Dr. Clark and, you know, all of that. We know all of this. I think that we have to look at the systems in the 21st century to translate that to our people. A brother brought something out in me to say, it's something we have to look at. When he said, when you looked at black people when 9/11 happened, you didn't see them waving flags. Okay, we were sympathetic because a lot of our people passed in 9/11 and so forth and so on. But when Bush started talking about going to war and killing, you saw a lot of white people waving flags. We wasn't waving flags. But when Barack got in this thing, now we're waving flags. And this is the only time in our history that, especially our youth, see, because nine times where their strength is and what they have co-opted is our young people. Because never in the history, if you look back from the 60s, I don't care what they did to any type of advancements, sort of, quote unquote, that they had on the idiot box or whatever, we wasn't waving flags.
I hate to interrupt you, Brother Warren. We running out of time on here.
Okay, brother.
We really do.
I want to say that just in conclusion is that, you know, we just have to represent our community and really be problem solvers, not just anti-people. We have to solve our problems for our community, and then they will listen to us, and we can move forward. All right, thank you. Ashe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ashe. We definitely thank everybody for calling in. And, you know, we wanted to pose the question, you know, is there a need for the revolutionary as of now? And we know the answer. But we're speaking from the mindset of so many of us. Brother Warren G, he said he heard someone say that after 9/11, black people were not waving flags, but after Obama, we were. But I saw a whole bunch of brothers and sisters waving flags after 9/11.
Yeah,
we kept on any little glimmer of hope. You know, we actually thought that we were brothers and sisters at that point. You know what I'm saying?
The campaign, to put a mass media campaign.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we believe anything the media tell us to believe, you know. And so we're just hoping that, you know, if this brother doesn't pan out to be who the people think he is, you know, we're just hoping that it doesn't suck the little fight that's left in us out of us. And like the brother said, though, we have a history of doing that. They killed King, and that went to civil rights movement. They killed Malcolm, and that went to nationalist movement. You dig what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, as we say, we always want to thank everybody for calling in. Brother Batiste, Brother Powell, Sister, what's your Sister Allah?
Aha, Allah.
Okay, Allah. Thank you for calling in, Brother Warren G. Thank all.